We got new features again.
I was trying to show off my slippers.
Slippers. Are you like a no shoes on office? Imagine working in like a cabinet boots shop off. And you couldn't wear your shoes in the office.
Take your boots off, Ben. Gosh.
I was pretty particular about that for a while. I felt like before we got shit handled in the shop, people would just track in like crazy amounts of like chips on their shoes here when we were like back in the good old days of job shop world. Like, what are we doing? Get that out of here.
Good grief. What's your vibing, Justin? What's the vibe?
Actually, at the moment, I'm trying to migrate Freshdesk to Freshdesk articles to Help Scout articles, which is the one I'm going to go with. And okay. I've got this crazy Python script, and it's downloading all the files, cleaning them up, uploading the new files. It kind of works, except for it creates all the categories from the old, you know, like folders, like 3D printing, and then articles that should go inside of that from the old to the new, creates the new ones, creates new folders and stuff, but then uploads all of the articles into an uncategorized folder on Help Scout. I'm like,
almost.
And it's like, I can't bulk move them for some reason, which is really weird. So I just keep telling it, nope, that's wrong too. Please read the documentation.
Where are you working in Cursor?
I should be. I'm in SimTheory with Claude 4, which I should. I don't know. I'm eating through my Cursor credits, so I was trying to divvy it up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, spread the load. So are you copying and pasting back to your IDE? Fiddling.
Yep, pasting Python scripts, running them in terminal, it fail, doing it again.
Fancy boy.
I mean, running in terminal is like literally typing Python 3 space migrate.py and then it runs.
Yeah, sure. Nice. All right. Well, I got to work this morning. Ben was already here at 6:20 in the spray booth playing catch up.
Early
birdie. So I'm back in the podcast cubby this morning, which has been dedicated to be a heated printing environment for the last week, as Laura's been running flat out on the bamboo.
You're noxiously being...
Unplug the bamboo.
Gassed.
Yeah, it smells pretty funky in here. She's been printing...
What's the filament?
ASA.
Oh.
Am I going to make it through?
Yeah. It's not the worst, but it's not the best.
No.
To be breathing.
The printer is no longer in here, and it finished its print some hours ago, so...
That's but it's just like bad. That guy in the bathroom that you're like, well, you made a stinky mess, but even though you're not in here, still got to smell what you did, your extrusion.
Extrusion, yeah. What's happening? Busy week. We got too much work due at the moment, thus Ben being here at 6:30 spraying. A bit of a bottleneck in production. What's our work in progress at the moment? Quite high, I think. Work in progress is quite high. We've got a lot due this week, next week. A lot of spraying. Like, the spray booth is the bottleneck right now. Just to get through enough surface area.
Probably for another time, but how do you plan on transitioning spray booth to homestead shop?
Homestead. Where homestead is, won't take the water wall with us because it's a bit too power hungry. We'll build a dry spray booth with paper filters. Is the plan, which I think I can pull off for much lower wattage per runtime.
Right. But you'll have enough room for it?
Yeah, I've got a corner in mind. Do like a corner booth within reach of one of the robots. But also it's a funny balance trying to do the floor plan with the robots, because you kind of want the spray booth to be operable by us as well. So you kind of need enough room for parts and a person and drying racks and flow through, but also to be within the radius of the robot arm. So that's been a fun game to try and work out. If I could suspend everything from the ceiling upside down, that would solve a lot of problems.
But, just have the robots slowly raise a room around you. All right, arms up, guys.
And place Josh Groban. You raise me up.
Well, you said Waterwall earlier, and I made a mark for some kind of song input there. Remind me, I guess it's Wonderwall, not Waterwall. we'll make the Waterwall version of Wonderwall version of Waterwall.
No copyright issues at all. So yeah, I took the horse flight to Melbourne on Wednesday. Took the podcast studio, the old one, the home office, no longer a home office, and filled it up with
horse office.
ABB controllers. Had three in the horse float and one in the van. And a whole bunch of random cables and teach pendants and boxes of dusty bits and pieces.
I was going to say, there's no way you're putting one of those robots in there, right? Like,
could have put some of the little ones in there.
Proper. Yeah.
Would have been very cute to have some of the little guys just like, hi, hi, speaking out of the back. Oh, hi.
Sticking their arm out the window.
Yeah.
You should like make a little paper mache horse head, stick it on the end.
Genius.
Yeah. Carrot. You give him a 3D printed carrot.
The YouTube makes itself.
Haven't slept enough, as you can tell.
No, me neither. So yeah, chased cables through the dust and unplugged things and took heaps of photos of connections as I was unwiring stuff and hope for the best. Labeled everything. So yeah. One more little mission on Monday to finish packing up cables and unbolt Abe, as he's known, off the floor, which is the one with the milling spindle. And then crane truck is booked for Friday, so a week today. I'll be back there with the crane operator. Hoisting these things out of there.
Robots up.
Yeah.
Can your forklift move them once you get them back?
Barely. It's like right on its limit.
It's 6,000 pounds, right?
Yeah. I mean, the fork will move them to be able to just scooch them around the floor, like not lift, but just like get them off enough to like position.
We'll do some scooching.
Like yeah. Some sliding and scooching. Yeah, and our pallet jack will carry them. So, yeah, we'll be able to maneuver them enough once the crane truck gets them onto our slab.
Just was imagining, like, those big old robots, but they're on, like, skates, and they can, like, choose to skate themselves around, kind of like they're, like, rowing
what
a boat.
Would that be? Yeah.
Not be dangerous at all. But they're all powered by, like, Claude 3.
Chatty.
Just an old version, though, because it's too expensive.
Oh, right, yeah. Too many tokens in Claude 4. But the win was that I got tiny... So I don't know if I've introduced... Have I introduced them here by name?
No.
They've all got names.
No.
Well, most of them have got names. So there's Abe, which is the one with the milling spindle, and the one that came from the Jaguar factory in the UK. as a welding robot. And then there's Abby.
Wow.
Which came was the one that was bolted close to Abe, and they kind of worked together on things. And Abby came from the Holden factory in South Australia. And yeah. And then there's Tiny, which is the biggest one, which was never really commissioned. He just bought it and then got sick around the same time. And so Tiny's still on its shipping pallet and has only really ever been turned on once in the last 3 years. And so I got Tiny's controller back to the shop the other night. I was like, here goes, and plugged it into my 32-amp three-phase port, and it powered up successfully and flashed a few warnings about a low battery, and then basically told me, do not switch this off until you've hot swapped the battery. I was like, well, I'm not going to get an industrial battery in the next
right
week,
like encoders basically.
Yeah. So I switched on my video chat GPT. I was like chatting through, they're like, cool, this controller's at this status and I think the battery's in here, and we unscrewed it and had a look and found it and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, basically ended up, checked the 3¼-inch floppy drive, that there were backups on it, and there were. I was like, cool, there's not much more I can do now. I'm just going to have to switch the thing off and hope for the best that that doesn't lose any, like, parameters or kill anything. So I power cycled it, and it successfully rebooted and still had all its juiciness, so fingers crossed.
Crazy.
When Tiny gets here next week, I can plug him in and jog it around, but we'll see. Meanwhile, yeah,
I just need to know how many will have googly eyes.
I think the horse mask is a much better idea than googly eyes.
It's got blinders.
Yeah.
I am so focused on my tasks. Oh, I saw you got rid of your edge sander, right? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Not very much money. Doesn't really scratch the surface for the robot recoup, but good to have cleared one piece of equipment. And cleared a surprising amount of floor space just by freeing up that one machine, actually. Just because of where it was, it kind of means that a whole like table store and router can just like move across the shop and then free up a lot more room for robot cell.
Right.
So yeah, it's going
cool.
And you'll be excited to know there's landscape video files on my phone. It's quite weird.
Hooray.
Scrolling through my photo library, saying, what is this landscape rubbish? What's this doing here?
I can't even see it all.
Yeah.
So old daddy.
Old daddy's coming to YouTube.
A double old daddy. Yeah, that's great. I've come to, this is probably going back a second, but I kind of started talking about vibe coding, and I've been doing a lot of it lately. Different projects, and I have come to a agreement with myself, I guess, or like an understanding that's different than maybe you already feel this way. But my analogy is similar to how there's no way I'm ever going to create my own Fusion or write my own G code. I'm also not going to write my own software for a website or a script that migrates things. So I'm going to try to just let go of this, like, oh, I'm vibe coding and it's bad, or I'm not as good, because it's like, was I ever going to make my own Fusion? You know, like, I was never going to do that to run my CNC machine.
Yeah, it's a tool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a new tool.
I don't know. You had already gotten there, I guess.
No,
I was like,
no, I have a sense of shame attached to vibe coding as well. Or some level of discomfort. Like, I haven't explicitly talked about, you know, hey guys, look at this kid, other than here.
Right.
On Insta, I haven't gone, hey, yeah, I made this by like
private call.
Prompting with Claude for hours. Because I have, there's some sense of like discomfort about having done that, and I don't haven't unpacked that fully. You know, I have some underlying anxiety that my client base would judge a heavy use of AI tools, for instance. It's like, oh, you're wasting resources, or like those tools are bad. You shouldn't be.
Right.
Bad for the species. You shouldn't be using those tools. And that's mm-hmm. not based on anything. It's just like, I don't feel comfortable going to my full Insta audience and being like, hey, yeah, I'm a full-time vibe coder these days. Did you know? I burn tokens like it's... Yeah.
I burn way more tokens because of how... Well, I guess it's a mistranslation probably, or I'm assuming more capable interpretation than what it's doing or something like that, but it just feels like 3 out of 10 are just burned because they it just doesn't get what I'm wanting it to do, you know?
Yeah.
Or like giving the wrong answer over and over again.
But that's part of the process of this tool, right?
Right. It's teaching itself.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, you seem to smash those cursor credits much faster.
That was Sim Theory the one time.
Oh, okay.
I've never gotten close to going through my cursor credits. Sim Theory was whatever. Okay. I don't what was that 4.5 when it first came out, and I used it like 6 times and burned all the Sim Theory credits at once. And I was like, oops. Well, I've never lit anything on fire that fast.
Okay, so you do okay with the cursor credit. Are you just on the base plan of cursor? Have you got
mm-hmm. It's like 20 a month and then 500. They've done some interesting stuff lately with like Claude 4 Sonnet is half of a request. They've changed their token system or whatever. And then you get 500 requests, premium requests a month. And so you technically get 1,000 in that case, which is amazing. If you use the thinking model of that, you get it takes 0.8 of a request, which just a little like silly nuance, but
can you tell any difference between Opus and Sonnet?
Oh, actually I've not Opus fails everywhere. I cannot get it to work on Sim Theory or it's supposedly the better one for coding, but I can't get it to work. It has some weird restrictions in cursor too. It says it's only on Max, which is their like pay by billing. Like it's beyond the normal subscription. So I haven't used that. So I'm just using Sonnet. Probably why it doesn't work in Sim Theory too, but it would be interesting to see. The thing I noticed about it in cursor is the thinking version it just takes longer, but I think it does. It's a little more thorough.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Seems like it solves problems more often. But when I'm just kind of like querying, going back and forth, I don't use the thinking version.
I've pretty much just used 3.7 Sonnet. Regular one, I think. Sorry, the 4. 4. But it seems good. Seems good. I haven't done much coding this week. Very little. Very little.
I've done a lot. Yeah.
Kind of I know.
Deep bits that down we'll see hole. How it goes here. It's been helpful. I mean, like I said, I brought it up before. I'm moving. I did a bunch of testing of a bunch of different types of support platforms, basically, and landed on the one that I thought I was going to land on, which is nice, which is the Help Scout. And it's got some, I wanted some minimal bits of AI, obviously, as I'm constantly talking about, I suppose. But half the time I'm trying to like summarize what a customer has written to me, or like often the thing that Ricky and I talk about, what we do when we're trying to respond to customers most often is take something we've already documented and write it to them in a different way, or bring it to the forefront that they haven't seen it themselves, or it's too complicated to understand. And often that's just using words again in a different way. It's not like, basically what I'm trying to say is we still use AI to take those articles and rewrite them in a certain way to the customer. And so I wanted a tool that was forever. It was like, can draft me a draft to the customer based on what their question is, based on all these different things that contextually it should be built in to these tools, and they offer that. So
cool.
I think it's using like Chat GPT 4.0, and it's going to supposedly get better the more stuff we have in there. But I just had one today where it said it didn't have enough content around this topic specifically, and I haven't moved all my articles over. Cool. And it runs off of both digesting our Shopify, which is cool. I can add a bunch of different content, but then also when we get all the articles moved over, it'll have that as its knowledge base too, to like write and respond from.
Yeah, great.
It's also got like a chat, very distinct AI answers mode when you're on the front end of the website of Shopify, so that people can, as they say, self-service, which sounds naughty. Please self-service.
I'm curious, because I was thinking about this the other day, wishing that Gmail did this for me. I wish it would have the draft prepped for me before I even got there, rather than getting there and then piecing together the context and getting a draft.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you know what it's doing in that respect?
It can. There's I'm still learning some of the things. That was one quirky thing, as well as waiting like a whole, I don't know how long it's been, couple week trial. I had to get 100 conversations in for it to basically understand how we write. And I didn't have that until yesterday, basically. So I'm still learning how it can work, but it is nice. It'll generate, you click a button, it generates a response, and then you can have it revise, and you can obviously change it from there. You can give it a voice and instructions on the back end. And then there is some automatic workflows that I haven't set up yet, where it's like, if there's a word like it broke in the article somewhere, you can have it pre-generate a response that then you can go. I don't know why in that case. I'm still learning their kind of nuances, but if you are interested in looking or trying this kind of thing, it is, I think you get free. It's free for up to 50 a month, which is kind of an interesting for way 51. To try it out to see if
when,
it works.
When potato came 50, there.
They call them contacts, so it's 50 times interact with a customer, or only one customer. So if they chat with you and your email, it's just one customer. So we'll see if we go beyond that. I'm pretty sure we will. And for the $55 a month to do 100 contacts, I'm feeling pretty confident that it's going to save us a ton of time and be more integrated. It includes Shopify integration, which is nice, so you don't have to jump back and forth to see what the customers bought. And I think the AI also can see that kind of stuff and help with it. So I'm pretty stoked to finally have it all in one, rather than the kind of archaic feeling Freshdesk.
So what's it called?
Help Scout.
Help Scout.
Linked to
Chuck a link in.
I keep wanting to call it Better Help, Better Scout, but Better Help is a podcast advertisement for therapy.
Yeah. We get a lot of those as well.
I'm always nope, that's not it.
Yeah, cool. Okay. I'm curious. Part of me is
you're all
Justin, this is just busy work. Get back on the tools. And make some money.
Yeah.
But I'm curious too about this stuff, because it's a lot of my day is responding to emails and text messages. Does it have text message integration?
They have plugins and stuff. I don't know. You can definitely, I think it's like Tidio or, yeah, I think there's options for that. Phone call, logging.
Yeah, cool. All right.
But yeah, it's about 85% of what I was hoping for, and the last 15% is either very expensive or a bunch of other stuff we don't want or need, like in other softwares. So I'll take it, I guess, as it is.
Cool. So I think coincidentally, both you and John did like auto cleaning things on the CNCs this week
at the same time. Oh my god!
Yeah, pretty weird. I maybe just John saw your vid and was inspired, but I don't know. Maybe you're the inspiration.
Yeah. I'm still kind of thinking to make a video out of it, and that was kind of my first test case of that, and then what we were talking about was like SMED still ringing around in my head, and watching Ricky doing
another song in that,
a job where we're not getting paid for, because I agreed to do some kind of pro bono work, and there's a lot of sheets for it, and it was just like, I was just watching it, and it's like, god, that is so much time cleaning up between sheets, like, this is stupid, there should be a better way to do this, and I've thought about that for years, like, the machine should clean, you know, and so I made a very simple operation, and I did learn finally, I don't know why I didn't think about this before, that it's from my knowledge of the mill, I can do an M98 like sub program call to a separate program that's just the cleaning, so you can just do an M98 to, and whatever the file name is, as long as it's in the same, you just have to have a path to it, it runs it, comes back to the file, ends, you can just restart.
Cool.
You can actually loop it too, I think. Very simple, but
I wonder if we can do that. I feel like I've looked into subroutines with multicam before and it was a no-no, but I'll check that out. That's cool. Well,
I subconsciously knew that it does subroutines, because like when we update the ATC files for customers or with customers, when I made the instructions, a lot of those are subroutines. When it goes to tool change, it's a subroutine.
Yeah, you know,
like,
true,
and I just
true,
never
true.
Like put it together to use it for one of my own things. But same with the tool hiding and like,
yeah,
I think even to the point of like setting offsets sometimes, like it uses some interesting quirky, but you know, it's not real G code. It's like weird macros that WinCNC's come up with, but
Cool.
What did Johnny come up with?
Well, I've thought about what you did for years as well, and I've never bothered to do it. But it's such a good use case, because often, like if I'm in the shop by myself, I'm multitasking like a mad bastard, and like, so what if my cycle time's 5 minutes longer because the machine's doing its own vacuuming up of the table, because I'll be off on another machine doing something else.
Right.
And I've just never bothered to do it. It's one of those things. So, yeah. So we're running a job at the moment in our thread boards, like 26 full sheets of thread board, which is about 26 hours of machine time, roughly. And at the moment, previously, John had a option stop in the program where the machine would pause and wait for the operator to come and air blast all the chips out of the bores before the threading operation started, because we found that if it threaded with the bore full of chips, it would sometimes, you get Z, compound Z errors across the, you know, 300 holes or whatever. And so, John would pause, get the air boy, get it ducked, and like, and try and hit every hole roughly, and it was just pain, it made a mess, you often ended up just like spraying yourself in the face with chips. And yeah, he ran programs, basically a facing pass with a dummy tool, The machine wouldn't let him do it without a tool and spindle.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah. So just a tool and collet with no tool in the collet, and it calls that tool, and then, yeah, it does a facing pass. But what he also did, because we've got air, we had a spare air line on the spindle, is he's plumbed a little air feed in. So as it's doing that, it's actually, like, blasting air down into the pocket and pushing the chips up into the vac stream, which is sick. Really nice little...
It's super cool. My other thought was to get some type of... I want to call it like a spoon cutter, which I don't know if that's the right phrase, but something that's up cutting, and go in and lightly tickle the holes again.
Yeah,
I don't know. That wasn't intentional.
if you had chip packing or something. Certain operations are perfect. I mean, you could just double pass.
Cool.
The same op, potentially.
Right. So here's my, I don't know, I'll have to ask Johnny. It doesn't matter at all, I suppose, if he, that was exactly my answers and what I came to. And so it's mostly just a posted file that I lightly edited so it wouldn't turn the spindle on, because I just didn't want the spindle to run. And it has a dwell in it, the same, like a situation, so that it doesn't go start cleaning when there's still parts on the table.
Nice.
But the question I have, and what I've been thinking through since I thought of this situation, I think it was 2022, and I just never got to it, frankly. Just thought about it, and it never seemed important enough. How do you share this, ideally, so people can do it themselves? In like a YouTube, like what's I'm just asking, like a production sense, how do you make a YouTube video out of this that's like helpful but also entertaining? And that's where I always, that's probably why I haven't done it yet, honestly, is like I've been intending to make this be a video because I think it's a good idea, and I just have failed to come up with the right answers there.
Well, this is the thing, you're light years ahead of me in terms of YouTube thinking, because as I was recording some footage during the week with the intention of being part of the first robot edit, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I can't have no sort of intuitive sense of like narrative structure or like what I should do here. Like I'm so used to making 1 60-second reels. And I've got a recipe down and an intuitive sense of what works and what doesn't work there. I have none of that intuition yet for YouTube, and so I'm just recording some stuff and patch some things together. And
it's probably better that you came from that side though versus the opposite though, because if you were used to, basically, I was used to making slow, fairly boring YouTube videos, and then I tried to make faster, attention grabbing short videos, and I still suck at it for all the same reasons, because like I always keep too much in, and I feel like your editing is so much more engaging than that. You're good at that, like keeping attention, which it's an attention economy is all it is, right? Like it's like shots change every 3 seconds or people leave. It's literally that, like, ridiculous if you want to think about it. Otherwise, just follow your instinct and like make a video you'd like to watch, I guess. Or
I'm definitely not going to be editing like that for YouTube. Just I can't afford to.
No,
like it takes me
right
like two hours per minute of output to create that sort of content. I just don't have that time.
Yes, right. Same. I haven't done much like that. And an example of the last video I made was like, I did not put effort into it, but I didn't spend a lot of time editing or filming, I think, enough where it seemed interesting, because it just it's a complete flop. Or maybe it's just the combination of like my audience, normal audience, and like the content didn't seem to match. And so then it didn't get any, I don't know, just just bad, just never produced any results. So in contrast, YouTube for the show is kind of popping off. We are, I say that, but like old shows are starting to get views, and I don't know if it's like cool. The algorithm changing or what's happening, but we are 400% up on our watch time for this month, like way up. And there's some shows that are like the last show 2 shows ago has almost 200 views, which is like,
that's a lot for us.
Start. Yeah. It's happening. Yeah. So if you like to help us out, you can either watch us there or just subscribe. That also helps because we need a certain amount of subscribers to like tip past their little metrics.
Yeah.
My little pet project.
Justin's pet project. Yep. I've always grumbled about YouTube. I'm like, Justin, why are we doing YouTube? What's it for?
I'll see. Maybe like 10 years in, we'll be like, oh, this was worth it. Maybe.
Maybe. But yeah, I don't know how to make an engaging video. So there you go. Can't help you. Just make it. Just make it unpretentious and communicate the idea. And
what is it that you feel unsure about, the content or like the structure or any and all, I guess?
Partly it's just the logistics of like having a camera on more to have enough for long form. You know, I've got my little Instagram recipe. I can just turn a camera on for 15 minutes in one environment and then edit, 95% of that out and have a tight little video. And so, yesterday morning I was in here at, 6 something a.m. poking around in this controller, and I wasn't. I was aware, in the back of my mind, I was like, I should have a camera on right now. I should be doing something, but I'm not. I'm just poking around.
People do it a million different ways. A way that I can never, and I've done a little bit lately, but there's a lot of people I've noticed that do just voiceover. They just film themselves and then afterwards do voiceover of what they're doing.
Mm.
I've never been able to think like that, really. I'm always like, feeling like I have to talk to the camera or like be an active participant in the video portion, but you can do both. Like I guess the great thing about YouTube is there's really no rules. It's just like, if you have terrible audio, people will leave faster than if the video sucks.
Yeah.
Which you're makes always sense. Fine with that. So I don't know. I don't know. Edit a little bit. Send it to me.
Okay. Can be my test audience. Sure.
Test audience.
What else, man? What's happening?
Our little I thought I got scammed for a little bit here, but that thing called Printflow was that Bamboo Labs A1, not the mini, the full size A1. I had found February. It's been a long time now. This person made a bed swapper. So basically, it just loads a new bed,
didn't
kicks
you
off
one?
The other one. I pre-ordered it in like March. It's been a long time. It's supposed to ship in the end of April. I emailed him. basically, bad communication. Eventually, responded to me like 3 weeks after I messaged and was about to file a chargeback because I just had heard nothing. The website was like, the pre-order timeline was like negative 35 days, and I was like, is this real? And like, there's just some other stuff about how the website worked. And out of nowhere, they responded, and I have it in my garage area. So it's mostly 3D printed parts that have inserts put into it, and then some software, I guess, which is on a Google Drive.
Okay.
So it's not working. And so then I was kind of waiting to order the A1, and I did that, and it arrives tomorrow. So
cool.
put that together and see how it goes. So we're trying to figure out a place for it.
This is the one that's numbers, kind of like a little gantry machine, isn't it? It's not the cantilever.
It looks like the old Creality's, but slicker, like two-armed. The bed is the same size, and you can actually print on a larger space by a very tiny amount, because the X ones have that little area where the camera is in the corner, where the head can't reach, the little white spot, and the A1s don't have that. So you technically get more space on an A1, which is kind of crazy. Less sensors. I think it's a little slower potentially in terms of like rapid motions, but relatively otherwise, it's like the same printer in terms of space and like, what's wrong? Just printing capabilities. So it'll be interesting. Like, I'll have to repost a bunch of files, and I don't know how it's going to work, but I think it can hold 6 beds worth, which is like, my goal here is to like be able to print through the night, and that should easily happen. Now, whereas we stop at like 7:30 after we leave at 5:30, you know, it's like, the printers just sit idle, and it always kind of kills me. Like, we need these parts. We're pumping out a lot of tool tags, and yet, you know, in lieu of buying more printers, they just need to print more.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Cool. It's exciting. I hope it works.
Me too.
On the bamboo. So are you still running 3 X1Cs? Or are you down 4. To 2? You got 4.
We have 4.
Wow.
We fixed Alfred, actually. Alfred. Ricky had torn it apart extensively. Had to replace... We think the thing that finally fixed its quality issues was replacing the carbon rails, which means you like take it down to nothing, basically. It looked ridiculous. But they had pretty good guides. We probably spent $110 on parts, roughly.
Cool.
At least. And then an ungodly amount of time trying to figure out how to fix it. This is probably 6 weeks ago now, 8 weeks. But it's worked perfectly since, and it's the oldest one I have, so.
Great. Nice.
I'll give them credit. Everybody was always dogging on them for, they don't have generic parts, they're all proprietary, but like they keep the parts in stock and they're not overly priced, high priced in my opinion. Like, I just wish they could ship faster is the only thing. Yeah, I want like overnight shipping that they don't really offer yet. So
have you been tempted by the new one, the H2D or whatever it's called, the big boy?
I almost bought one.
Did you?
As well. Mm-hmm. I almost bought 2 printers at the same time because, as I mentioned, the Cat 50 tags we've been producing, and I think they're live right now, actually, if you need a Cat 50 tag.
Yeah.
People always want the tower with it. Towers are enormous.
Mm.
Like, they don't fit on the X1. I'd have to like really section them down and glue them back together and stuff. So I have not bought one yet, but I think it's coming.
They look
pretty
fancy.
Specifically for bigger prints.
Yeah. I came across a video recently. I don't know if I've talked about it here, of like someone with a dual extruder machine, like a dual head machine, doing 3D printing flexible bellows in TPU, like machine way covers, where they were switching between TPU and PLA, and the PLA was basically a sacrificial layer. I'll try and find the video and put it in the show notes. And you pull the PLA out of the assembly at the end, and you're left with this beautiful flexible bellows. Anyway, Rodia and I found this video independently in the same week. Both watched it, both sent it to each other, of like, oh, the PS2 needs printed bellows.
Cool.
Last week, Rodia has been mucking around with that and just sent me a video last night of the PS2. I just texted it to the PS2 with its first printed bellows attached, running.
Wow.
Covering one of the way covers. It's pretty sick. Anyway, Ray worked, Ray worked out a way to do it without the dual extruder thing, so just printing in the TPU without the extra material, and looks pretty good.
Do you think it's durable beyond prototypes?
I don't have a sense of that material's longevity, but it's incredibly strong. Like, Ro and I, like, hung on each end of a tiny little test print and tried to break it and, like, almost went flying across the room. Like, it seems pretty tough. I don't know what it's like. UV sensitivity's like longer term, but, yeah. I mean, for...
sun tanning.
No tanning. For the sake of this machine, I think it's ideal.
Yeah. It's cool.
And it's such kooky, tight geometry. It's perfect for us because we can get weird little bespoke bellows wherever we need them to keep dust out of the ball screws and linear ways.
It's pretty cool. Mm. Right. How's the progress on that otherwise?
Slow. But that's okay. It's just, you know, the classic project where it slows down as you get into nitty gritty. But there's some good stuff happening. Like, the bellows are great progress. And Ro also made progress this week on just getting the feed rates a lot faster, like tuning the steppers, getting some better parameters dialed in. And it's now moving at a much more... I was getting quite worried about how slow it was and that the cycle times were just going to be... shockingly slow from a production point of view, but it's now zipping around much quicker and I'm feeling better about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. So it's coming. It's coming slowly, but yeah.
What I'd come to realize when I was doing some math on probably similar to your PS2, it kind of reminded me. I was doing some math. I think you and I were talking about this week that so much of my driving now, I end up just talking to, like, GPT. Used to be Pi, but lately it's been GPT because it's pretty dang good. It, like, knows everything that I've ever talked to it about. So I can go, hey, you remember I'm doing this thing? And it's like, yeah. It remembers better than, like, my friends or my wife, you know? You talk about too much stuff. And I'm kind of always going back and forth with GPT about the limits of 3D printing for, you know, like tool tags and when we could transition to injection molding, and it can do like calculations of like pressure, you know, clamping pressure and how many tags can fit on one thing and how much pressure, and it's just live doing this, and I'm like, God, it's like having the smartest friend sometimes. And so I've had a lot of those conversations lately, and fucking hell, what was I going to say? All that set up for... mine goes blank.
I'll come back to you. I've been doing the same. A lot of workshopping in the car.
Right.
Just like chatting through ideas. Yeah, go. It's gone. It's back.
Right. I was thinking if the A1 bed swapper that I bought from this company doesn't work... that I'm pretty likely either going to try myself or try to hire somebody to make a proper one. Because of, I had to do the kind of math of like, all right, so if I can run this 24/7, how many of these tags can I make? And the number is fairly shocking. Like, with one $600 printer in a $180 add-on, what it's, I mean, I guess I'll just share. It's like $70,000 of revenue worth a year.
Yep.
Based on the time, that's not 24/7. That's the time we can actually be here to keep it fed, and it stops Saturday at like 2:30 p.m. and then just sits there, right? So, if you could print the whole weekend, it would. It's pretty crazy. Like, I don't know that we'll have. We'll see. We keep growing, and that product keeps growing its needs continuously. So it'll be interesting if it's actually that productive or capable.
It's a great capability. But
it could be very well be worth it.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. What you need is Dennis. I'll send you Dennis, the yellow robot. the little one. He can open the door and swap plates for you.
Right. Yep. I've caught my son will catch me looking at my phone too often. And I'm like on TikTok. I was on Instagram and I got just some random reel of like a cobot loading and unloading a dual spindle lathe.
Mm.
And so it would take a bar out and like put it outside and put it in this device where it could switch its grip and then it could put it back into the sub spindle. And my son saw me looking at this and I was like, isn't this super cool? Pretty communicative anymore. And he just stared at me and he like his eyes got big and I was like, do you understand yet how cool robots are? You should. This is the way, son.
Yep. It'll come in time. Yeah. Yeah.
Something else I think I was going to... Oh, the thing. I feel like without having looked for it, I was expecting this to come, and there's... I don't know where I saw it, honestly. Oh, it was Hacker News, I believe. It was... What the hell?
What?
My little terminal just flashed some little message that looked like a list of numbers, like a budget. I'm getting hacked. Oh, this thing finally arrived. We've talked about that. Apparently now you can talk to an LLM and it will create like step models or STL files for you.
Ooh.
Called AtomCAD. Won't even need us anymore.
What a name.
AtomCAD.
Start building with Atom. Cool. Okay. Have you played with it? Have you made any files with it?
Kind of makes me like kind of like icked out a little bit. Like that's the one thing where I'm like, I kind of like being able to make my own file. You know, like I'm like the graphic designer that would like to keep their job, I guess. I knew it was coming the whole time. I knew we would get here. I'm sure there's other versions, but here it is.
Interesting.
Know.
How do you feel about toolpaths? Are you happy to hand over your CAM program? Because that's coming too.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, toolpaths doing it right now. Cloud NC or whatever has been doing it too. I guess I still have a question of where do I fit? Where do we fit? And what do we end up with? Obviously, like, the AI can't own a CNC machine. But you could get into this whole, like, Tesla example of, like, you know, you won't own cars anymore. Or if you own it, it'll just be a tool for you to rent out to other people. It's like we can get to that place of my CNC can be run by you from where you are with your AI. Like, you know, it's a few jumps, but also, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it yet. I think there's still a lot of steps in between, and there's
you're skipping along my forge. Yeah.
Other ways, yeah, other potentials, but it's moving fast, and my brain always kind of jumps to the end. Versus, I'm fun to watch movies with. Let me tell you.
Can't wait to have a movie night with you.
Movie night. You.
Oh look, it's like the vibe coding thing. It's another tool. You know, CAM automation is going to come to Fusion at some point in the not too distant future, I imagine. Whether it's toolpath or something else, and I've got no issues with toolpath. You know, drafting all my strategies for me. Like, you know, whether they need refinement or not, whether if it gets to a point where they basically don't, you can just hit post and go. Sure. It's an interesting thing to consider, you know, automation.
Do you still charge for programming?
Yeah. Do I put it in a quote?
In that case? No, I'm saying in that case.
Oh, in that case.
If it auto programs. Yeah.
I guess so. You know, because there's going to be a fee attached to that. You know, whether it's probably going to be part of the advanced manufacturing package in Fusion, right? So that's $2,500 a year, Australian. There's costs associated with that, and until it's agent to agent MCP, there's still an operator like telling it to uploading the part and programming it, or telling it to be programmed and posting it or whatever. So, I find all of that super intriguing, and I've been thinking about it with the robot arms incoming of like, if I can legitimately get these things working well, like productively sanding parts and spraying parts, it will free up a lot of time. And like, what do we do with that time? And it increases our throughput, and it's made me aware of like how we move around the shop and what we're doing and what tasks people get caught up in. And there's just so much time in like dispatch and just prepping orders to go out the door. And, if we do increase our throughput, a lot of our labor is going to, and the robots are successful, a lot of our labor is going to go towards just picking and packing orders and like prepping, doing part counts,
and hopefully creating new
printing
things,
instructions, and hopefully doing R&D and producing new things. And, and that's still a while off for us, but it's a super curious area to ponder. Because the way our quoting is going at the moment, we're winning a lot of work at the moment, kind of almost beyond our small team's capacity. Our lead times are starting to push out right now, which is great. But like, I want robots online now because I want to increase our throughput.
Right. Yeah, same. I mean, that I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but I'm going to say Ricky was very hesitant to use my auto cleaning, M98 cycle. He was like, it's going to take longer. I'm still going to have to go through and make sure. It's the old problem of automation. It's not trustworthy, right? Like, there's still going to be some chips. And I ran it a few times myself, and it's about 2 minutes for it to do its thing. And
it's pretty good.
There was a few chips, and I had to go through a bunch of different cycles to like figure out the step over, which pattern made the best sense for how everything works for us. And it worked pretty good. And I said, all right, well, you can use it or not. It's not the end of the world to me. I wanted to try this anyway. And so then the next day we were talking about it, and I said, similar to like the single, minute exchange of die, what I want out of this is like, you had to do 30 sheets. It's pretty tiring, right? Like to physically do all that, but then also clean off the bed every time. And you don't think about that, but there's a ton of motion, right? Going back and forth with like something to clean. And I was like, I'd actually rather you just sit there and watch it, like
have a rest. Yeah.
Why are you doing that work? And he laughed, and I was like, no, I'm serious. Like, this is like, it's let the robot do the damn work when it's easy for it. And it's, if there's two things to flick off, but there always are like a couple little pieces to flick off before the sheet went on. It's like, that's fine. Like do that,
Do that.
Or we'll make it better.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, I don't know.
I just find it so interesting, all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time to be working on all this.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's nice having a few little hobby ABB operators come out of the woodwork too. Like, as I've started to post a few things in stories, there's a guy in regional Australia, regional New South Wales, maybe, who DM'd me on Instagram and just sent me a photo of his little ABB in his shed. And we exchanged some details, and I sent him the documentation files that he had that had the serial information that he needed because he'd been struggling with comms, and like, it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. It's like a few people appear of like,
no kidding.
Oh, you're doing that? Cool. Yeah, yeah. I did this like that. So I'm looking forward to sharing some stuff.
And meetups.
Meetups. I was talking to Johnny during the week, and he was encouraging me to do YouTube stuff. And he was like, I want to be involved. I want to help if I can.
Huh.
So like, great. Cool. I'm keen. I don't know what that's going to look like. But I don't know what that looks like, but I'm keen for you to be part of it. And I think my current standpoint is like, I want to share everything. I was chatting to the guy who's selling these machines, and he was about YouTube because he'd published a little bit of stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah, I left some stuff up there just to help with client communications, but I've ended up pulling about 100 videos down because I found I just had too many people. I was sharing too much of the process, and I had too many people asking questions of like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. How I do it. Cool. And he became uncomfortable with how much he was sharing his process and IP. Sure. And I think he felt that that was a threat to his business. Whereas my current, like, I've shared so much about the pencil sharpener and kit of parts. Someone could rip off our entire product line just based on my Instagram videos. But the value, the value and sort of the brand and the trust that I've built from having shared so much, I think outweighs the risk in a lot of ways.
Yep.
And so my current thinking with this is to kind of just share the journey, share everything. And, you know, hopefully enable other small woodworking businesses to be able to feel empowered to be like, yeah, I will buy that secondhand robot arm and have some sense of what I can do with it and how I might go about getting it online.
Yeah. It'd be different if you had come up with the idea of a collaborative or industrial robot and built it yourself and programmed it yourself. That's proprietary, right? But the robots exist. The controllers exist. You know, like, it's all there. Sure. Yeah, there's some level of like, maybe if your business was being an integrator, that's a different story too, maybe. But you know, what are you making the money on, I suppose? And maybe you'd feel differently if the other business dried up. But I don't know. In the end, it's like, mm-hmm. I get people every once in a while send a message or see them in person or something, and they'll say something really nice about like, oh, I've learned so much from videos you have out there. And I'm like, that's, you know, I'm not doing it for the $36 a month usually. Is there some other benefits sometimes for like exposure to our products potentially? Great. But I mean, I started videos before there was ever products. So, but for me, and I like doing it, I guess too. So I think I'm a roundabout way of saying, I think sharing it is both the right thing to do, but also it'll be beneficial for you in the end, I'm sure.
Yeah, it feels that way. I think my tendency is to overshare stuff, and that's worked out for me in the past, so I'll continue to do that.
Just a quick production thought. I think that that kind of content where there's, you know, one person, if you're like the main character and nobody else ever is in the shot, or like you don't talk to anybody else in the office, that's fine. Like, that's kind of how mine ends up being. But often the better stuff is like, you know, if Johnny is interested or somebody else too, it's like, if he can film, you can film, you're kind of talking to each other about the project. That's great. It's like a little TV show in that case, right? And it takes the pressure off of one person to perform the whole time and do all the things. And it doesn't have to be every time.
Yeah, that's where, as far as my thinking had progressed in terms of how that might work, would it would just be that of like saying to each other, hey, both of us, like if both of us pick up a camera, if we see the other one working on the project in some way, then that'll just help greatly, just having more footage and more content around stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I got a quick thought. I'll be right back.
Okay, bye. Let's keep looking at things in the background. He's got some tool.
I think you already have some, but I will reiterate how bloody awesome these things are. He's
turning into an Australian people. Bloody awesome, isn't that?
Bloody awesome.
What is that?
They're little wireless microphones. It's like $100 or something like that. And you can... This one goes on your camera if you want that, like DSLR or mirrorless. Yeah. And then the best part is like straight into your iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Sick.
They have sound isolation. They auto balance. I got them from MKBHD's channel. He was using them, and I was like, if it's good for him, normally wireless mics are like $800. So I was just giving you the, if you don't have something like this and you need multiple people, it's kind of tricky to like mic both and keep up on it. And these kind of just do it automatically. So
that's pretty cool. I do have the Rode Wireless Go 2. With two mics and a receiver.
Oh, there you go.
So as much as I'd love to upgrade to that, I should just use what I've got. They're good little mics.
I didn't know you had two. I made a fool of myself.
No. so yeah, I can mic up two people and have it plugged into my phone as well as the input. Nice.
So isn't that film magical?
Yeah, it's awesome.
For like how tough that kind of stuff is half the time, like if you just do it manually with like a recorder or something, or even in your camera, it's just like you gotta like set levels and make sure they're both on and batteries don't die and blah.
Well, that's the appealing thing about the thing you just showed me, is that they're just charging their little case and they're always ready to go.
It's all USB-C too.
Sick.
The sound isolation is really good, surprisingly. Great. Too. I'm fairly shocked. Anyway,
cool.
I'm just kind of like happy with them.
Are they playing croquet? Justin's just sent me a render of ABB's.
I cannot get it to
punting around the workshop.
End effectors. Yeah,
they look like they're holding, oars, wooden oars, and that was like punting themselves around the workshop. That's pretty good.
Well, was like they should be moving themselves like they're on stand-up paddle boards, but on skates instead. And it could not get the idea of there being multiple end effectors. It was like it kept putting stuff on the sticks, and I was like, no, robots.
Well, you'll be reassured to learn that the cables from the controller to the robot arm are really, really long. So this is possible.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're wait.
10 meters.
Really long cables and make so each one a little different. Do you do this thing with like your friends or family where they're like, they say something that inspires some image, and you like on your phone just generate an image real quick and send
constantly.
It to... No?
Constantly.
Oh, okay. I was going to say just me. All right. And they're always like, how did you do that? And I'm like, it's kind of my day job. Oh, we didn't even talk about the thing. I know there's so many things today. We're at hour 10.
Woo.
Long one.
Buckle in, people.
The video live thing from ChatGPT Mobile is goddamn amazing. Like,
yes,
so amazing. Every time I have used it and asked some really abstract question and pointed it at something, it's given me like a perfect answer. Like that would have been so hard to find otherwise. Like, the back of my X1 printer is making a weird noise. What do you think that is? And I didn't even explain what the thing was. I just pointed it at it and said, "This thing is making noise. and it gave me the exact part to replace. And said, though, it's common on X1s that this certain fan goes bad. Here's the install, the instructions and the part. Crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I was literally yesterday morning, I was doing just that inside a 20-year-old Swedish industrial controller going, where is the bloody backup battery in this thing? I cannot find it. What's this bit? Oh, that's the DC converter. Okay, what's this bit? Oh, yeah, okay, the battery's probably behind those Torx screws. Yeah, all right, get Torx driver. Yep, there it is. Sick. Amazing.
Right. I've fixed my water heater with it. God, there's been so many weird little things. Can't even think of all of them. Yeah. We should probably end sometime soon.
Should, yeah. I got a kid's thing.
I got more coding to do.
Happy coding.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Nice to see you. Tally-o.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Bye. I'm the Lean Custodian. Spell it out.
Words unsaid.